Hi, everybody. I'm Erica. I'm an alcoholic. I have to say that the podium. I was like going, I'm gonna like disappear. I'm a little short, and I'm not used to standing there. But I'm hoping it's I can do that. Good. Like Billy said, I'm Erica. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from the Baldwin Group. My sober date is September 1st, 2006. I get stuck on that because my father's birthday was September 1st and my son's birthday is September 5th. And the couple of days after I stopped drinking, Child Protective Services was at his birthday party. So all those dates sort of get mixed in my mind together, and I always have to count on my fingers. Wait, it was his second birthday. So this is what year I got sober. I don't usually remember. And I had done a lot of praying and pondering today about what I was going to talk about. And I don't usually do that, but I don't usually facilitate or speak at this type of meeting. I either speak at an anniversary, a regular meeting, or I facilitate it at a big book meeting, and you have this nice little, you know, outline in front of you. So this is a little looser than what I'm used to. And this meeting is also a little quieter than what I'm used to because, like I said, from the Baldwin Group, And I have usually my 9-year-old in tow with me, so at least I usually know the person who's making the noise in the room is my responsibility. And it's really, really hard to separate one step from another step from another step to me. As I think of it in general like a wheel, and it's like taking out a spoke or two, and I'm going to talk about spokes. When really it's like a living, breathing experience for me, and it's I can't separate them any more than I could separate my heart from my body and say, well, this here is my heart, and it exists alone, and I wouldn't be able to do that. So I will do the best I can at that. And I don't like to talk about my first step experience so much on the, well, this is how many years I drank and it was terrible and this is how I got my first step experience. Because in truth, my first step experience was after I came to AA, mostly. Mostly. Well, here's the thing. I picked up alcohol the day I consider it, me picking up alcohol on my own, was a meaning outside of my parents' roof, was maybe 10 or 11 years old. And the first time I remember picking up alcohol was under my parents' roof. And I was a little younger, and me and my cousin drank whatever, Johnny Walker. I never drank scotch again. And I drank. And when we ran out of whatever you're supposed to mix with scotch, whatever that is, we switched to whatever was next. And then I switched to beer. So here I'm like 10 years old. I weighed about 12 pounds. And I passed out, puked, blacked out, every possible end of drinking that was short of somebody saying, maybe we should take her to the emergency room. And outside of that, drinking didn't get much better. I never got prettier at it. And maybe I got better at planning when I was going to puke or something like that. But I wandered into AA the first time when I was 20. So when I say that my first step experience is mostly in AA, I really mean it was in AA. I just not quite so much sober. You know, I walked into a meeting in Baldwin at 20 years old, and you know, back in 1985, for anybody who is around here in 1985, there really wasn't a whole lot of conversation about steps. I mean, well, I think that they were mentioned somewhere. I know I had a big book. I don't know what I did with it, but I had it. I had a sponsor. I had a home group and all that. But I don't remember doing anything else. We talked. Me and my sponsor talked every day. And that's what we did, you know. And I didn't have anybody to help me understand anything about developing a relationship with a higher power. I didn't have anybody to help me understand why I was disconnected from a higher power. I don't know. I went to a lot of meetings with her, and we chatted a lot. You know, I don't know. I stayed sober for a while, for maybe on service and fellowship. I stayed sober for about 5 years, and I made a lot of meetings in 5 years. And, you know, it was great. You know, I was young. I became an alcoholism counselor back then. It was a CAC, you know, and I got an awful lot of hours on alcoholism education, and I still didn't know a thing about alcoholism. You know, it probably worse, right, to know that that's what the counselors are who are out there, right? I didn't know anything about what happened when I started to drink, had anything to do with anything. I had no idea. I heard about the allergy, and I thought it was about handcuffs and that. But that, and I wish it wasn't true, because that's all I knew. I spent 5 years thinking about drinking, and I didn't know that that was unusual. Nobody told me that that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I don't know if the people around me knew. So after 5 years, a great career in Holliswood Hospital I was working, and divorcing my first husband, working on my second husband, because by 25 you should be doing that. That makes sense. I decided to get involved with a guy who drank a lot, and I used my incredible wisdom to say, you know what? I'm going to have a glass of wine like a normal person. Like, that reflected anything like the other 10 years I spent drinking. Like, I was a little sitting with wine, you know, kind of drinker. I was a low, old man's bar drinking kind of biker chick girl. I wasn't drinking wine like a normal person ever. But I was going to do that. I was going to have a couple of glasses of wine like a normal person with my boyfriend, who was from Missouri. So I was convinced that everybody from Missouri drank like he did, because that's what I said. It makes sense, right? All those hours of alcoholism education go somewhere. And I picked up a glass of wine, and nothing happened. And I picked up a second glass of wine, and nothing happened. And I went home that night, and I didn't go back out, and it was great. It was great. The only problem was, is I told myself, and I believed, that if I picked up, I could come right back if it didn't go well. I had no idea that I couldn't do that. So the next night, it didn't go well. The next night was already drunk driving. The next night was already my sponsor. I always talk about this because my sponsor came in. I was drinking in Houlihan's, and my sponsor even came in. God sent my sponsor. And I said, hi, and I could barely walk. And you know, and I stayed out. I stayed out. And guess what, though? I had children. Very quickly, I found out that I was pregnant with my first child, and so I decided on my own power that I was going to not drink, because after all, I'm not an alcoholic. And, you know, I spent the next maybe 5 years or so of my life on my own power not drinking, and I got sicker and sicker and sicker and angrier and more depressed and more violent to myself, and I started going in and out of hospitals a lot. Because me trying to stay sober on my own power, spiritual sickness on me, thank God for alcohol. Because if I'm not spiritually well, I am so much better off drunk. And I mean that. After 14 hospitalizations and 2 major suicide attempts that landed me in ICU, I am better off drunk than dry. God's honest truth. So when I started coming back to AA, I was back here for another, I don't know how many years, 10 years or so, in and out, in and out. I would put together a couple of years. I would put together 1 year. I would put together a month and 2 months. And I had a stack load of coins, and I did Hazleton's version of the steps. I don't know. Maybe that has to be bleeped out. Sorry, Phil. I did the version of the big book where you read chapters 4, 5, 6, and go back and read 2. Yeah, that one worked well. And the versions of, you know, the 12 and 2. I did everything other, and nobody knew. It wasn't like there was somebody around my area who could do anything different with me. And, you know, the moment that it happened, I don't know why it happened. Because, like I said, it was my son's second birthday with Child Protective Services. I lost custody of my two older kids. So it wasn't like, well, losing kids was going to stop me, because I had already learned that nothing stopped me once I was out there. Because I had, you know, 20-odd years of desperately not wanting to drink and drinking anyway. What happened was, I was in the Baldwin group. And they had the big book meeting. At the time, it was upstairs, and somebody was speaking, and I heard things I never heard. So I got a sponsor who said she would take me through the book, and I didn't even know what that meant, but okay. And I just did what she told me to do, what the book said to do, more importantly. Week after week, we met once a week for a long time, and we just did that. And somewhere in there was where the first step experience that mattered, I think, happened. Where the place where I understood why I kept going once I started, no matter how much I love my kids. Because I really, really love my kids. I was even trying to be a class mom in the middle of all this alcoholism, and a Boy Scout mom and a Girl Scout mom and all of this. But why did I keep doing this? Why did I go to family skate night drinking? Yeah, why did my kids watch me drink beer while they were eating their Cheerios? So I guess the last part of my first step experience, outside of the ongoing daily version of it that hopefully I'm having right now, that is really relevant, is mine went on to page 52, was probably my most meaningful part, because where they described in the book about I couldn't manage my emotional nature and all of that, that was the place where I was like, oh, wait a second. That's what's wrong with me? Because you can believe in all those hospitalizations and all of that, that I had a whole lot of diagnoses, you know, and a lot of diagnoses and a lot of meds to go with those diagnoses. When I read that description, when it was true, this is me, I can't manage my relationships, I can't hold a job, this is me, this is because I'm an alcoholic, that was the first time I ever knew it. The strange mental blank spot, and I don't know why I drink, and all of that was really important, but really finding out that spiritual sickness that I suffered with every day for years and years and years that nobody had ever told me was because of my alcoholism is the moment that I remember really being a turning point for me and being willing to do whatever it was which was next. I walked in here this time with a spiritual concept. I guess because I had spent 30 years in AA, I had heard of a higher power. I had, you know, rumors of a higher power. So I knew I was supposed to have one. And I knew, like, plenty of times that when I was active, I prayed. I did pray, God, please help me stop. Because I was drinking against my will. And when I walked in here and we started, you know, my sponsor told me to start praying right away. She told me to go to the internet, go to the bookstore, go to the library, go look for a higher power. I know you have one, but I started to be willing to take it apart and look for what really made sense, because I had a lot of ideas that didn't make sense. They made sense in, like, the sense of, well, this is what a higher power is supposed to be, but they had nothing to do with keeping me sober. At all. It had nothing to do with any connection to doing the rest of the step work at all. And I guess what she impressed upon me most of all, the thing that I still carry to this day, is I had to be willing to believe that maybe there was a God of my understanding who would help me stay sober, that would lift that spiritual sickness enough that he didn't spend every single day in here wishing I was dead and wishing I was drinking. Sometime around that time, when I had about 4 months sober, my daughter, who was a teenager at that time, was being violated from PINS petition. And for the first time, because I lost custody of my kids in Supreme Court, not Child Protective Services. So I knew I was never getting custody because it was a sealed, done order. But because my ex-husband couldn't handle her and the state of New York apparently couldn't handle her, Even though I walked in, they're saying, yep, I only have 4 months over, Your Honor. They gave her to me. So I sat on my back porch, and I wrote on my back porch a red magic marker, the third step prayer, because I couldn't remember it. But I sat on that back porch at 4:30 in the morning, and I was up that early because I had to get my daughter to the high school they had her at the time. And the only way to get all of this done was to wake up ridiculously early. And I realized when I was sitting there that everything that had happened up to that moment happened because it was supposed to. And without getting into the whole chain of events, because there was a whole chain of events when that room became available, when I was sober, when my mother went into the nursing home and all this other stuff, that everything that had happened in my life up to that moment meant something. It connected. And I was suddenly okay with the idea that maybe there was a higher power that was going to keep me sober if I just did whatever was next. We were talking about it at a meeting the other night, the third step, and I don't have, my experience with the third step was when I went home and did that third step prayer, I didn't know what I was, I had no idea. I went home and contemplated it and thought seriously about what I was doing. I did. I had no idea what I was talking about or thinking about. I didn't know. I did it anyway. I did it anyway, and I did whatever else came in front of me. The pen and the paper were very big on the next list, you know. But I just, my whole third step, I wish I could have a really good way to describe it to somebody who was new, who was sitting here, because I used to be upset when I sat in meetings and people said, well, I did my third step the first day when I walked in. And I was like, oh, yeah, did you? I don't know. I didn't know what it means. And all it meant to me was I was going to say okay to whatever Alcoholics Anonymous asked of me. And that was it. So on that, I'm going to shut up and thank you guys.